We've been studying Hebrews, and we continue to do that. We are in the section that we call the encouragement passages, where the apostle is writing to us encouraging words. And we began that a few weeks ago with the encouragement of the blood of Jesus. Then this morning we're dealing with the Word of God, and then the throne of grace, and then the rest of God, that is, His rest in heaven. And then as we look at the sacrifice of praise and the gift of hospitality, and finally the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of those things are encouraging words that God gives to us through this book of Hebrews. This morning we are on one of those most important ones, and as I said in my prayer, I really mean that for many of us, this can be the most important message in all of this series. For it is the central point of everything that the apostle is saying throughout the book of Hebrews. He wants us to get focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, but as he does, he senses the distraction of God's people. He senses they're focusing on other things and priorities are askew. They're out of alignment. And he's calling them back to the task. In chapter 2, he says we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. That's the Word of God. We need to listen to the Word of the Lord Jesus. In chapter 3, he says, today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. Listen. In chapter 4, which we're dealing with this morning, he says the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. In chapter 5, he says, let's stop the baby talk. Let's get out of the infancy and sucking on the milk of the Word, and let's get into the deeper things. In chapter 6, he says, let's leave the fundamentals of doctrines, those simple baby steps of walking with Christ, and let's go on to perfection. Let's get into the Word. Let's grow up. In chapter 10, again, he re-echoes that by saying that we ought not to forsake this assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much more as we see the day of Christ approaching, that we ought to be encouraging one another, edifying one another with the Word. You see, the Word is central in everything you say, the Word of Jesus Christ. And so the verses that we look at today are central to the theme of Hebrews and really central to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Verses 12 to 13. And I want to encourage you, as you have a Bible, get it out. Please, get your Bible out. It's important that every one of us have a Bible. I've repeated this over and over, and I do because many times we have people that have never been to church before. They don't have Bibles. And I want to encourage you to get a Bible. If you don't have one, stop by the office and just say, Pastor Dick said I could have a Bible. Not mine, but one of our freebies. It's a paperback Bible. It's an NIV, but it's the whole Bible, and you get that. So we want to encourage you to get into the Word of God. This Word of God is important to us. Right? Guys, don't say amen in this sermon. We're not getting out of here till 3 o'clock. The Word of God is important. Correct? How important is it to us? It's supposed to be important. It's supposed to be on the top of the list of what God says we ought to be doing. We ought to love this Word. We ought to be into this Word. Our Bibles ought to be open eagerly when we get to church. We certainly ought to bring our Bible with us and not leave it behind us, the manner of some do. I've done that too. But we ought to be into it every day as well. The Word of God is important. So as we read this passage, remember this is the central point of the message of Hebrews. Listen to this powerful Word. For the Word of God is living and powerful. Some translations say it's active, and that's correct. The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. I like the way the King James puts that. Piercing even to the dividing. It's a verb. Even to the dividing of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. this word of Jesus Christ is presented to us in this passage as the important word. It is the word of life that comes to each of us, and by it we will determine our eternal destiny. Is the word of God precious to you? The apostle was writing to Christians that did not have a Bible. They did not have a bound book like we have. They didn't even have all the books that we have in the Bible because they were being written by the apostles at that time. But they had the Old Testament and they had the scrolls. Every church community had scrolls in which they contained the Word of God, and if people would want to have a scroll for themselves, they could come in and they could copy it by hand, roll it up and take it home, and they'd have a portion of the Word of God, but nobody had the whole Word of God at home. And so it was important for them as believers in the community of Jesus Christ that each one of them got serious about the Word. If you wanted it, you had to pursue it. You had to go get it. You had to write it down. You had to roll up the scroll and you had to keep it in your home. It was precious to them. And so precious was it that they couldn't take it everywhere. It's not like they had the Pocket Testament League or the Gideons and little testaments they could carry around. And so the way they got the Word into themselves and with them was to memorize it. Many of the believers memorized great portions of Scripture so that the Word was not just with them, it was in them. That is an important principle as we begin this process of looking at the Word of God that's in the text before us. There were three ways these people got the Word into them. One was reading it. The second was listening to it. And the third was memorizing. And I think that's a good advice for all of us. Here's a thought. If for some reason, here in America, the Bible was banned and confiscated and taken away from you and from me, and we had nothing of the Word of God written, how much of it could you remember? How much of it could you scroll down and write in a notebook by memory because you've committed it to your heart, not just left it in the Word? God wants us to get serious about the Word of God. In our society, when we buy a product, usually there's a warning label. And I like to look at this passage as a warning label from the apostle as he's writing concerning the Word of God, that the Word of God is going to be doing something and it's effective and we need to listen to it. Warning labels are important. You ought to read them. Let me give you some warning labels that are real labels, and they sound rather ridiculous. Warning label number one read like this: this product can burn the eyes. It was a curling iron. Warning number two: do not use while sleeping. It was on a hairdryer. Warning number three: do not spray in your eyes. It was an underarm deodorant. Warning number four: hot beverages are hot. And that was on a Starbucks coffee cup. Warning number six: do not use for drying pets. It was on a microwave oven. That sounds ridiculous, but it's true. Number seven. Warning number seven: may contain nuts. It was on a package of peanuts. And finally, warning number eight: do not drive. Took you a while on that one, didn't it? No wonder you're not saying amen at all. You're still sleeping. Warning number eight: do not drive or operate machinery while taking this medicine. It was on a children's cough medicine bottle. There are some ridiculous warnings that are given by people in the world, but the warning that is given here is a warning that we need to get serious about the Word of God. He is writing to them all through the book. He is announcing over and over again, get serious about this Word. This Word of God is given to us that we might grow and that we might know Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. We ought to ask some questions. As I approach any passage, when I lay it out before me, I break it up into little parts, and we're going to do that this morning as we look at the Word. We're going to break the words apart, look at the background behind those words. I call that a word study. But we're doing that so we understand every word that's here and the power of it that is for our hearts today. I ask myself questions as I look at the passage. Number one, What does the word living mean? What does the word living mean? He says this word of God is living. Hold your Bible up. It's not saying anything. It's not moving. It's just not walking around. How is it living? Well, mine's covered with leather. That used to be a cow. But how is it living? How is it that he says the word of God is living? And what does he mean by the word of God is powerful or active? It's not active. It usually sits around the house all week long. How is that active? Why does he mention that joints and marrow? Now, what's that got to do with anything? And what's the difference between soul and spirit? And what is the difference between thoughts and intents of the heart? And finally, what is this whole thing about heart? We're going to look at these things this morning by making statements and looking at each of the words in the passage. First of all, what the Word of God is. What is this Word of God? He begins by saying the Word of God is living. The literal word is the Word of God is alive. It's the Greek word Z-A-O, Zeo, which is the word from which we get zoo or zoological. It is the reference, it's the root word behind all living creatures. He is saying this Word of God, not the Bible, not the book, but the truth that's contained in it. The Word of God is alive. Every time I study that, every time I say it this morning, I think of Frankenstein's monster. You remember that? If you've watched the old ones, it was, it's alive, it's alive, it's alive, it's alive. The Word of God is alive. That means it is a living word. It's not dead. It's not just a textbook. It's not an information manual. It's not stories of Old Testament people and miracles that has no point and no procedure. It is the living Word of God. That means it is alive. Let me give you 2 points that help you understand that with 2 other references. John, Gospel of John, chapter 1. Turn to it. John, chapter 1, verse 1. John, chapter 1, verse 1. Very important to get the connection here. The word that he uses here when he refers to the Word of God is the word logos. It's the same word he uses in John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is living. When he's talking about the Word of God, he's talking about Jesus Christ and his uttered Word throughout the whole of the Bible. When God speaks, everybody ought to listen. It is a living Word. It's as though Jesus Christ were living and standing here this morning. When I read that passage, it's His words coming out of His mouth to your heart. We ought to listen to it. That's what He wants us to understand. The living Word of God is alive. The second passage that helps us understand that is found in the last book of the Bible. Turn to Revelation chapter 19. Go to the back of the Bible and move forward. It's almost to the last of that chapter, of that book. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 13, that whole passage is about a picture of who Jesus is and what he saw in heaven. In verse 16, he says, he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name was called, help me out, the Word of God. You see, Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He speaks. He breathes. He lives His life to us in this Word. That's why it's so important when He says this Word is living. He's talking about this Word is the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let it slip. Don't let it get away from you. Don't ignore it. Don't get sleepy. Don't fall asleep in church. Now, some of you look sleepy already. Somebody came up after the first service and said, Pastor, I need to know what you're taking for your allergies because you're hyped and I'm sleepy. And if you want to know afterwards, I'll tell you. When I'm on my allergy medication, I wake up about 4:30 in the morning and I'm going, okay, what's next? Where do I go? And my wife just thinks, sheesh, glad my husband's not on drugs regularly. It says he has a clothing, a robe dipped in blood. What was the first of the encouragements from Hebrews It was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second encouragement is that His name is the Word of God. He lives and abides forever. We need to understand that. We need to participate in that. The second word here is the word powerful or active, as some translations say, and that is a correct translation of it. It is the word active. It's the word energize. Now, I'm going to need a helper for this part of the sermon, and I'm going to need that helper to come up and sit with me for the rest of the service. So I need somebody that's not inhibited, somebody that's not going to cry, somebody that's not going to get mad at me, and somebody that knows how to behave. Volunteers, be wary of anybody that raises their hand. Be wary of anybody that raises their hand. All right, come on up here. Quickly now. They'll tell me my sermon's too long if you don't hurry. Hurry. It's not only long because of him. All right. Tell everybody your name.
Chris.
Okay, give Chris a round of applause. Good to have you here. Now, all I'm going to have you do is sit there. I'm going to use you for my guinea pig. I'm going to use you as an illustration of all that's in this analogy of the Word of God. That second word that is used here, he says it's alive, and then he says it's active. I think it helps to use an illustration that might show that. Coke is active. There are active ingredients in here. There is something in here that some people want. I don't particularly care for it, but some people want. It is active. The only way that you can get the activity out of this thing is to open it up. It is really active in there. There are some things in here that you need to get your heart on, get your heart into. You need to really get excited about it. Some people are really into this. And if you take a can of soda or a bottle of soda and you shake it up, and then you give it to somebody and ask them to open it, guess what happens? You find that it's active. It's not living, but it is active. That's the word that he's using. Don't open it yet. Just hold on to that right there. Okay, in a few moments, we're going to open that to show you that there is activeness. Activeness inside of that can. Now, this Word of God is that same thing. He says the Word of God is living and it's active. That is, sitting alone on a shelf, this word is not active. It is not doing anything. But when you open it up and when your eyes feast on the word or somebody reads it to you or you listen and you hear it, that's when it becomes active. It's like Alka-Seltzer being put in a bottle or somebody else is imagining a Menta, those little mints put into a big bottle of pop. And guess what happens? That thing just shoots off. Wow, that's what he's referring to. He said, this word is powerful. I like the word powerful because when we open that can, you're going to see there's some power there. There's some activity going on inside of that the only way you can get to is by opening up. Do you get the idea? The Word of God is of none effect to you if you don't open it up. If you do not open the Word of God and read it, then it's not going to profit you. In the Old Testament, the commandment was to the kings in Deuteronomy. It says the kings of Israel were to go to the Levites and get the scroll and write their own scroll of the Word of God. And then they were to roll that up and keep it with them. And then God said, I want you to read from it every day of your life so that you are sure to fear the Lord and obey His commandments. God said this book is to be open for you and you are to be reading it every day of your life. My question is, did you? Did you open it this week? Every day. Not 6 out of 7. Every day you opened the Word and you opened the can. You opened the vehicle by which Jesus Christ shows Himself to you and to me. Do you get a little bit of what he's saying here? He's talking to the church and he knows they're not doing it. They're drifting away. They're getting into other things. Their priorities are all messed up. And he says, the Word of God is living and it's active. The third thing he says, he gives an analogy here. He says, the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, I didn't bring a two-edged sword. I thought of doing so, but I've never had one. Probably none of you have either. But I think, since it's trout season, a filleting knife would be good. And I didn't bring that up here either because I can't trust myself with it. It's very, very sharp. A filleting knife is to cut through a fish and be able to get down to the core. That's really the essence of what's being said here. We don't have familiarity with swords, but we do with knives. a two-edged knife that is very sharp. They say that soldiers in the Roman army could sharpen those things to be so sharp that they would cut a hair, like a razor. That's what he's referring to. The Word of God is like a sharpened two-edged sword, but it's sharper. That is significant for us. Ephesians says this, that the Word of God, the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. That's the same analogy that's being given here. The Word of God is like a sword. And then he goes on to describe us a little more about it, which brings us to the second statement, which is what the Word of God does. He says, piercing even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Three words here. The first word is piercing, that the Word of God pierces. Now, when I think of piercing, I think of sticking somebody, sticking them with a sword. That's not the word. That is not the word that's used here. So it's probably a bad translation to say piercing at all. It means slicing. It is actually the word for slashing or cutting back and forth. That's why the two edges, slicing back and forth. So the Word of God comes and it slices him from navel to his throat there. Okay. Cuts him open. That's what he's referring to. Cuts him open so we can fillet it back and look on the inside. God's Word is that to you and me. It is so sharp that when you're under the influence of God's Word, it ought to cut. It ought to cut from your throat down to your belly button. And then it opens up. God looking inside of you. If the Word of God doesn't hurt, you're not listening. If you don't get under conviction when the Word of God is preached or read, it's having no effect on you. It's a sword, double-edged, that just whizzes right through you, slices it open, pulls it back so we can see what's really inside of Chris. And God's point in this is, I want to do that to every individual. I want to open them up by the Word. I want to split them wide open. I want to see what's in the guts. I want to see his real heart. Boy, wouldn't it be great if I brought my filleting knife and he could show your heart and bring it out and say, it's alive, it's alive. Put it back. See, God is saying there's something in there that he wants to expose, something in there that God wants to show, and only he can do it, and only he's going to do it by his Word. His Word is sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces or it cuts, slices. And then dividing asunder. Dividing asunder really is what you do to a fish when you slice it. You down the middle and you fillet it open. That is that dividing asunder. I like that translation, dividing asunder, because it really expresses the Greek word there, which is two parts. Opening up. The Word of God opens you up so God can look in and God can examine you. The third word is discerning. It's not the word bringing judgment, but it's a word of investigating and seeing what's in there. So, Chris, we lay you out. Sit up straight. We rip you open. We got the chest cavity exposed, and God says, now, he's going to discern what's in there. God looks in there and judges what's in there. Oh, there's a little thing I don't like there. And he puts his finger on it. God begins an examination. That's exactly what he's saying. God is doing an examination on you, and sometimes it hurts. God is poking, and he's putting in there, and he's saying, I want to see what's inside. That's why we expose ourselves to the Word of God, because we know that inside are things that shouldn't be there. And God wants to get to it. The third thing we say about the passage is how God does that, how the Word does that, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. He does it. He pierces into our hearts. Now, he uses the word joints and marrow. Chris, you got joints, right? Yeah. Give me one joint. No, I shouldn't say that. Don't say that to a young person. Never say that to a young person. All right. Give me your elbow. All right. This is a joint in the proper sense. Now, to take the sword of the Word into the joint, there's no way that in the time of Christ you could examine that joint from the outside. You could move it around and say, oh, it squeaks. Oh, it looks like it's swollen. But you can't tell what the problem is until you open up. So you take the scalpel, the two-edged sword, and you split it open, you fillet it back, and you expose the joint. And you see, oh, it's broken. Oh, it's got arthritis. or you do some other treatment. That's the analogy that he's using about a medical doctor looking inside to see what's wrong. And then he says, the marrow, the joints and the marrow. Now, inside this arm is marrow. Let me show you. No, I won't do that. But if we would cut off his arm, we could show you the inside of his bone. There's only one way to do that back in those days, and that was to split it open and then split the bone itself and get in there and take out the marrow and examine the marrow to see if there's cancer. Wouldn't you love to have that happen? Very painful experience. But that's what he is saying when he is talking about the Word of God is so sharp, it's like going through the joints and then cutting right down into the marrow of the bone and pulling it out and saying, this is what's really inside. None of you can tell what's inside of Chris. You can't see his heart. I can't see his heart. He looks like he's a goody-two-shoes, doesn't he? Sit up straighter. There, now you look like a goody-two-shoes. And you can come to church and you can look like everything's okay. You can put on a facade for everybody else, but the Word of God wants to get in there. And when it gets in there, it starts opening you up and showing you stuff that you didn't realize was there. That's important for us to understand. Joints and marrow. But he goes on, he says, and he discerns, or he cuts between the soul and the spirit. Do you know this guy has a soul and a spirit in there? I can't see it. But the Word of God can, and God opens him up, lays him wide open, and God sees the soul and the spirit. The word soul in the Hebrew, in the Greek here is the word psyche. Long before Freud ever came along, God knew that we have a psyche. We have a psychology. It's what our makeup is, what our personality is. And God says, I know what his personality is. I'm going to discern between his personality and his spirit, his soul and his spirit. That spirit means his pneuma. That's the Greek word. It means air or the substance of who he is. See, God is cutting right down the middle, getting to the point. He's saying, I want to find out if it's just psychological what he's going through here spiritually or if he's putting on a facade. I want to get down to the soul and the spirit. I want to see if he's really born again. See, only God can do that. Aren't you glad I can't do that? Yeah. Sit up straight. Okay. Then he says the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now it's brain surgery. It was heart surgery. Now it's brain surgery. God takes that two-edged sword. He cuts off the top, pulls it open, and looks inside. Nothing there. Now God says he looks inside, and he discerns. He cuts between the thoughts in this young man's mind and the intentions that are behind those thoughts. Every one of us has thoughts. Chris, look at me. Eyeball to eyeball. Send me a thought through your brain. Oh! No, actually, I didn't get it. Okay. You really can't do that. You can't do that. But God can. God can see the thoughts. He can sever through here and get to the real thoughts. You're looking at, you don't know what he's thinking. I look over there at you young people. I don't know if you're drifting off in la-la land. I can't even tell if you have your little Game Boy out and playing something. You may be doing that in your brain, but God sees it. God gets down to the thoughts. And then he says, behind the thoughts are intentions, and God can slip that right down the middle and look behind the thought and see what the intent, what's the motivation behind the thought, what causes that thought. See, the Scripture says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. God knows it, and he wants to get through to you about it. He does that through the Word of God. You get how important this Word is? We need to be exposed to the Word over and over and over again so that disease and sin doesn't get into our hearts and lives and our hearts are open and God is able to put in there real life. Let's move on to the next point. Number four, not only that, but God wants to see the extent, wants us to see the extent of the action here. It's in verse 13. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. He uses the word manifest here in the old English, which means not exposed to the light. Nothing is not exposed. It's a double negative. It works in Greek. Nothing is not exposed to God. Everything is open and God sees down deep inside. That is significant. God says when the Word is open, God sees down deep inside of you. Then he says a word that Chris is really scared that I'm going to use an illustration on this one. He uses the word naked. You are nervous now, huh? All right. God says everything before him is naked. That actually means no clothing. It means being unclothed, having nothing to cover. It is buck naked. Don't do it. We're not interested. But God says he sees that. God says He sees that. You can't hide anything from God. You can do it in the secret of your closet. You can be pretending you're a holy man. You're a holy woman of God. But in the secret of your thoughts, God who severs those thoughts from the intent looks inside and He says, you are naked. You are an embarrassment. What's going on inside is shameful. I see right down to the core of it. That's what the Word of God does. And then He uses the word open. It's naked and open. It is opened up. That is a significant word. It is a word that's used for opening the neck of a chicken. The first part of the word is trach, from tracheotomy. And it literally means to bend back and slit open. Chris, God says He's going to open up and look deep inside. Now, He's not going to hurt you. He's not going to kill you on that. But you know, that's what we need God to do. Open up and see inside. Every time we come to church, we need to say to the Lord, Lord, I need You to open me up. I need You to slip me right down the middle. And no pretense, no hiding things from You. I want You to see what's really there. And I want You to clean up what's in my life. The apostle is saying the Word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The last thing we look at is the results of God doing this. The results of the Word of God on us. It's not in this passage, but all through the Bible, there are volumes of verses that talk about the Word of God and how effective it is in us. The first thing that we see the Word of God does, Peter references it in 1 Peter 1:23. He says, we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God that lives and abides forever. That is, God gives us life. You didn't come to Jesus Christ because you wanted to. You came because the Word got through to you. You came to Jesus because somebody preached the Word, somebody read the Word, or you sat down and opened the Word and you got under conviction by it. I read a story of a man that sat down with his marijuana cigarettes and he determined to read through the whole Bible. He read through all of the New Testament, smoking on a weed, smoking on marijuana, and at the end of Revelation, he got saved. And I don't encourage you to do that. But that goes to say that nothing hinders the Word of God from getting through. You expose yourself to it. The Word of God is living and it's active. All right, Chris, this is the moment of destiny. You're going to open that baby up. Okay? Show us how active it is inside. Whoa! All right. It is active. Now, since it's active, you can go ahead and drink if you can get in there now. All right. What a mess. And I put a tarp down and now they're after me because I made a mess. Anyway, but moving on. It's important for us to understand that God's Word has an effect on us when we open it up. It has an effect. The first effect is that we are born again by the Word of God. You only got saved because somebody preached the Word to you. I remember working in a factory and all these guys were really pagan. I mean, the stuff that came out of their mouth, the pictures that were on the walls, I don't even want to tell you. It was bad. And yet God kept convincing my heart, convicting my heart, that I needed to carry the Bible with me to work and be unashamed of the gospel of Christ. Well, I resisted that for a long time, and finally God prevailed on me, and I took it in. And I took one of those little Gideon Bibles. For all of you that are ashamed, Gideon Bible works. I could put it in my lunchbox, and I got into the lunch, and I thought, oh, finally, victory, Jesus, I did what You told me to do. And He said, you're not done yet. I want you to open it up and read it during lunch. And I, oh, no. Oh, no, these guys are mockers. These guys badmouth everybody. These guys are cursers. They hate God. And God says, do it. And so with fear and trembling, I took the Word of God and I opened it and I started to read. There was one particular guy in that lunchroom. He was the foulest of all of them. He stood out. I was scared to death of this guy. I opened the Bible and I sat there reading and I glanced up and he's looking at me. And I'm thinking, oh, Jesus, save me. And then he gets up out of his seat and he starts coming over toward me. He'd never talked to me in his life. He's glaring at me and he's coming toward me. And I'm going, oh, Lord Jesus, cover me, protect me. And he walks up to me and he sits down right next to me and looks at the Bible that I'm reading. And I thought, here goes. Here comes the mockery. And he says, what are you reading? And I said, I'm reading the Bible, the Word of God. He says, I thought so. He said, you know, I have never read anything from the Bible. Can you read something to me? I always wondered what was inside. Wow. So I got there. I'll start crying when I tell about it. He didn't get saved. that I got to witness to the most unsaved man in Chrysler Corporation. And he listened and he didn't mock. And I can only pray that someday I'll stand before the Lord as my judge and I'll walk into heaven and I'll see him and he'll run up to me and say, Dick, you were the first guy that opened the word to me. And God began to work and he kept doing that. Every time I met somebody, they'd open the word, they'd quote a scripture to me, and it began to build something in my life. And he became, I hope he became born again somewhere around his life. God gives us faith through the word. He gives us faith. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The word of God brings faith into people's lives. That's so important for us to be giving the word to people. It's so important for us not to just hold it in the Bible, not to just sit in the lunchroom with it closed, but to read it to people, to tell it to people, to quote scripture to people. It is powerful in its effect. It gives faith. Thirdly, it keeps us from sin. David said, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you, O God. You see, we need to hide God's word in our hearts, not just look at it once in a while, not just read it, but get it inside. This is the biggest task that we have, getting the word out of this Bible and into us. The biggest problem is trying to get this down his throat. I can't do it. He's got to do it. He's got to open the word. He's got to open his heart. He's got to open his ears and listen to the Spirit of God. And when he starts to do that, there's a whole transformation that starts in his life. It begins with salvation. And it continues through giving him faith and keeping him from sin. And then it's a great reward according to Psalm 19. Read that passage. It's a wonderful passage about God's precious word and what it does. It gives us great rewards in reading and studying and memorizing it. And then it gives us an inheritance in Acts chapter 20. Paul's talking to the Ephesians and saying farewell. And he says, I'm leaving you, but I'm leaving you with the word of God, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance in Christ. My friend, your inheritance is in here. If you got called up by a lawyer and said your second cousin, thrice removed, died and left you $1 million, would you come and open the will? Will you be there for the reading of the will? Would you be there? He was a multimillionaire. Would you be there? You guys are really dead. Would you be there? Yes, you would be there! You'd be jumping up and down and screaming. You'd be there. You want to hear every word because every word pertains to you and what you get. My friends, I want to challenge you to memorize the Word of God. In a few moments, I'm going to do that. But I want to challenge you right now to get the Word of God into you, begin to memorize it, and let it get into your system, get into your heart and change you. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you a challenge. Every one of you that memorizes these verses, Hebrews 4, 12, and 13. Every one of you that memorizes this, are you listening? I'm going to give you $100. Just kidding. Got your attention? No, didn't it? You know, what's the difference there? Motivation. Discerning between the thoughts and intents of the heart. Oh, money, I'll do anything, but don't just ask me to read the Word. Because we look at it and say, that's not much of an inheritance. Yes, it is. It's everything Christ wants to do in you. Everything that He died on the cross to accomplish in you. He wants to change your life. I want you to know that every marriage problem can be healed by the Word of God. Every emotional problem can be remedied by listening to the Word of God. Every social problem can be addressed by the Word of God. Every addiction can be delivered by the Word of God. That's what He says. His Word is living, it's powerful, and it's effective. We need to get it out there where people can appreciate it. And then we overcome Satan by the Word. Jesus was tempted by the devil. What did He do? He got out the Word. He didn't get out the Bible. He got out the Word that was hidden in his heart, and he quoted Scripture. He said, thus saith the Lord. Boom! Shot him right down. My friend, you want to overcome the devil, you need the Word of God in your heart so you can overcome him. And lastly, it's Jesus living in you. As we saw in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 13, Jesus name is the Word of God. He wants to live in you. In John chapter 15, Jesus said, if my words abide in you and you abide in me, you can ask what you will and it will be done to you. There's a wonderful inheritance. Oh, I forgot about you. Did you drink any?
No.
You want to drink some? Go ahead. Drink. It'll change your life. That's not really Coke. It was something else I injected. No. Give him a round of applause. Chris, thank you. Go take your seat. You're a good preacher. All right, I want to hasten this to a close. I want to give some applications because the Word of God, and I do want you to memorize Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. I think that's really important for us to do. Get serious about the Word and let it get into you. It can't get into you by sitting on a shelf somewhere. It can't get into you any other way except you read it or you listen to it and it percolates inside and it begins to take an effect. You've got to get it into inside of you. So let me suggest a couple things here. First of all, read the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Read the Word of God for heaven's sake. It is for heaven's sake. It's for your sake. It's for all of our sake that you get the Word of God into you. Reading is the best way to do that if you can't read. And I want to ask you if there's anybody here that can't read, because most of you can. If you can't read, then find somebody to read to you, but get the Word of God into you. The kings in Israel had to have the Word of God every day opened up, every day reading from God's Word so the Lord spoke to them. I love that story I told you a few weeks ago about my friend who in high school had a group of guys that covenanted together that every day they'd have the Word of God open and every day they'd get something from Jesus and they'd carry it around with them. They'd get a truth from God's Word, a promise from God's Word. They would carry it every day. And when somebody had asked them, what's their WT, what's their wonderful thing for the day, they could tell exactly what God did. Actually, they had this, it's kind of like a bet going on. If you asked somebody what your WT is and they couldn't tell you, they had to pay you a dollar. I like that. We're going to do that next week. No. See how money motivates? You get excited. You say, oh, good, I can earn. No, we ought to do it because we know it's good for us. And it will make an effect on us. It will change us. Every day of our life, we ought to be reading from this book. Question for you. Did you do that this week? Well, I got 5 out of 7. No, it doesn't say almost every day. It says every day of your life. You live by this Word. And you don't leave it till God gives you something. That's fantastic. I've heard people say that they've been reading the Word in their devotional time and they couldn't leave because they didn't get anything. They read for an hour before they got something. That's good for you. To sit there and wait on the Lord till He gives you His Word. You can proceed through the day. So read the Word of God. I read my old Bible. I love this. It's all marked up. It's the history of Dick LaFountain's Walk with God. Until recent years, I started using another one because this one's fallen apart on me. But I love this because it's so filled with all of them circles, markations. I've got yellow markings of praise, blue markings for all thanksgiving that's in here. I can go here when I can't find any word from the Lord. I go back here. It's a memory book of all that God has spoken to me. My friends, you need a book like that. You need to get into the Word of God. You need to have it marked. Not that you're writing in the Word of God. Some of you have convictions about that. But mark it so you can find it again. It's a wonderful thing. I'd like to take this to heaven with me, but they tell me I can't. Read the Word of God. Get into it. And what a heritage you could leave to your children that they could have your marked Bible. The second thing is listen to the Word of God. Listen to the Word of God. We have more facility in our society to have the Word of God in our hearts and minds than anybody on planet Earth throughout the history of all the world. We have more Bibles, more facility to get the Word of God into us than anybody, and yet we're less literate. We don't know the Word because we don't use it. I've got this wonderful thing called an MP3 player. I've got the cheap one. I don't have one of those iPod things. A cheap one. And it's got the MP3 player on it. You can go on the internet and you can get the whole Bible online in MP3. You can put it on this baby. Maybe not the whole thing, but I put a New Testament on there and it fit very easily. And then I can walk around when I'm riding my bike or doing my kayak or fishing. I can have the earphones in. I can be listening to the Word of God. I'm soaking in His Word. God says His Word is powerful. It is active. It is going to do a work in me when I'm listening to it. Oh, I'm hungry to listen to more. I want to be bathed in the Word of God. And so I've said, Lord, all through the summer, I got about 120 days for summer. And every day, I want to bathe in Your Word. Every time I'm doing something fun, when I can, and it's not social, I want to be into the Word, and I want to get it into me. Lastly, memorize the Word of God. Memorize the Word of God. When we started the book of Hebrews, I put this out, had the secretaries do this for me. Little cards of all the verses, 35 verses of Hebrews. When I'm in the car, before I come into work, I'll go through these things. And do I memorize them all? I haven't memorized them all, but I'm working on it. And every time I go through it, there's something wonderful that happens. God speaks. The Lord Jesus comes close to my heart, and I walk with Him through the day with that in my mind. You know, that's available for you on our website. You go to the Hebrews link and click on that, and you can get it. It's not all packaged like this, But you'll get the sheet, you can print it out, and you can make your own. There's motivation for you. Make your own. I just prepared another one that's 104 promises from the Word of God that every believer needs to know and claim. And I'll have that ready this afternoon. You can pick it off the website. Of course, you have to do all the folding, spindling, and mutilating. But get the Word of God into your heart by memorizing it. David said, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." We need the Word of God in our hearts so that we don't sin against the Lord. It is important for us to realize this Word is for us today. Lastly, I ask you these questions. Has the Word of God had its full effect on you? And does the Word of God dwell in you richly? Would you stand with me as we close? This book is the most precious possession that I have. I am never closer to Jesus than when this Word is in my heart and I'm listening to His voice. And you'll never be closer until you do the same. As I close the service, I'm making new commitments to the Lord and asking Him to stretch my disciplines. And I'm looking for a summer filled with the Word of God. And I want to challenge you that if you can take some of this truth and apply it to your life, that this morning you make a commitment to the Lord. Lord, I'm going to be more of a man or a woman of the Word. I want your Word to live in me. Would you just lift up your hand with me? I don't need to know what you're going to do as your discipline, but that you're moving forward. You're going to step out for the Lord, and you're going to let His Word dwell in you. Lord, you see these hands. Oh, Lord, you see my hand. I love you. I want you to be everything in my life. I want your Word to just fill me up. Lord, like Moody said, when you cut a Christian, you ought to bleed Scripture. Lord, I want to bleed Scriptures. I want my mouth to be filled with your Word and filled with your praises and filled with your truth. I pray that for your people today as they make a step forward out of lethargy, out of apathy, out of laziness, that you would move them to a plane of knowing Jesus and that your glory would shine through them in ways that they have not yet known. We pray that and we ask that based on your Word and this promise. In Jesus' name, amen.